Good morning, church.
Morning.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time. The Lord is good.
On behalf of our church family here in Newport on Tay Church, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are doing so for the first time or after a long while. With us this morning is the Right Reverend Miki Hans Abia, moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. For those who can remember, and I'm sure all of us can remember too well, 2 years ago he was here with the outgone moderator, the very Reverend Dr. Funky Samuel, who preached to us. Then he was the synod clerk, what we call in the Church of Scotland, the principal clerk. He was elected last November by the synod of the PCC, which is the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland equivalent, and he was inducted into office in March of this year. So he has been visiting Presbyterians in the United Kingdom, in England, and came to Scotland, had meetings at one-to-one at New College and also with the Fife Presbytery. Dear moderator, you are welcome. Welcome also to others who are worshiping with us after a long time. And welcome to our brothers and sisters who cannot be in church this morning but are seeing us via Zoom, and also those who will follow this service afterwards from our church's website. After the service, again, you are invited to join us for teas and coffees at our church hall. And the intimations are on the order of service in your hand. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of mercy, God of kindness, God who sees us even when the world does not, we come to you this morning just as we are, not pretending, not performing, but bringing our whole selves into your holy presence. You are the one who made the stars, yet you bend down to hear our prayers. You are the Lord of the harvest, and you still care about the small and overlooked. So we come to you now seeking grace, needing truth, and longing for peace. Lord, we confess to you our sins, and they are many. We confess that too often we have chosen comfort over compassion and distraction over devotion. We have walked past those in need. We have spoken quickly and prayed slowly. We have doubted your power in the small things. And we have dismissed the daily call to love as too ordinary to matter. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive the cynicism that creeps into our hearts. Forgive the bitterness we have nursed in silence. Forgive the fear that keeps us from trusting you fully. Lord Jesus, lover of our souls, hide us in your mercy. Cover us with your forgiveness. Cleanse us with your kindness. And renew us with fresh joy. Joy not born of circumstances, but born of grace. Now, in the quietness of this moment, we bring to you our personal confession. Hear now the good news. The Lord is rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are made new. Thanks be to God. And we say our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is The Goodness of God, All My Life You Have Been Faithful. It's a contemporary hymn, so hands clapping, raised.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you will.
Are there any children in church this morning? I'm sure they are. Hello? Hello? Good morning. How are we today? Good. Have you started school? How is it going? Good. I like to hear that. So you're happy being in school again? After a very long break. How would you describe today's weather? Is it good? Normal Scotland weather. That's a good one. Now we begin our address again this morning with one or two questions. Have you ever tried walking with your eyes closed? Have you? How did that go? You fell over. I think that's what will happen if you close your eyes and you try to walk. And the second question is, who do you turn to when you have a problem? When you are worried about something, who do you turn to? Yes, Jacob? You turn to your mom and dad. Yes? Who else? You turn to God in prayer. Beautiful answer. Another answer? Mom and dad? To God? in prayers. Now, there is a story about some two people in the Bible in Matthew chapter 9 who were blind. What do you know about blind people? Yes.
They can't see.
They can't see. So they can't see the colors. They can't see. So these people were blind. Meaning that if they did not have a guide, they will fall over trying to walk. But we know that with modern technology, a number of things, they have provided certain things that can help people who can't see to be able to find their way. So they heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus and they heard that he was a very powerful man. So when he was passing, they said, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us." That sounds like a prayer, isn't it? It's like talking to God if you have a problem, or talking to mom and dad if you have a problem, so that they can help you. So it was a cry for help. It was a prayer. "Jesus, help us. Have mercy on us." Do you know about that story? You never heard about it. What do you think Jesus did? You know another story that doesn't involve blind?
It does, but it might be this.
Okay, what's that? Yes, it's a similar story. Yes, he rubbed their eyes with spittle and then they could see again. That's a different one. But when they said, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us," Jesus healed them and they began to see. So imagine the feeling when you try to walk with your eyes closed. You can fall over. But if you open your eyes, you are able to see. So these people were not able to see. Jesus made them to see. And what we learn from the story is that Jesus is willing to help us. When we have problems, we can talk to Jesus. We can talk to God. And how do we do that? Through prayer. We can pray to God. We can pray to God and ask him for help. And according to that story, he is faithful. He will show mercy on us by healing us, by making us feel happy, by putting a smile again on our faces when we feel, when we are not able to smile because we are angry, because of one reason or the other. Jesus Christ loves us. He wants to listen to us when we call on him and also to help us. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning and we thank you for our children. And each day, each Sunday when they come to church and we are able to talk with them about your word, we know, O God, that we are sowing those seeds in their hearts, the seeds of faith. Continue to help them to grow in faith and to recognize you, O God, as a strong source of strength for their lives. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, "All Things Bright and Beautiful," 137.
Our first lesson this morning is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, reading verses 18 to 24. It can be found on page 713 if you wish to follow it in the pew Bible, or on the overhead behind me. Isaiah 29, from verse 18. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The ruthless will vanish. The mockers will disappear. And all who have an eye for evil will be cut down. Those who with a word make a man out to be guilty, who ensnare the defender in court, and with false testimony deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, this is what the Lord who redeemed Abraham says to the house of Jacob. No longer will Jacob be ashamed. No longer will their faces grow pale. When they see among them their children, the work of my hands, they will keep my name holy. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe at the God of Israel. Those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding. Those who complain will accept the instruction. And the New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, from verses 27 to 38, page 974, and again on the overhead behind. Matthew chapter 9, from verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, the ruler's house, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him over all that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he has driven out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen. And our thanks to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn, "All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you opened the eyes of the blind and the hearts of the weary. Now, by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see your truth, our ears to hear your voice, and our hearts to receive your mercy. Give us not just understanding, but transformation. Let your word shape us, send us, and make us more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me begin this morning with a light-hearted confession. I like confessions these days. I once asked a Scottish friend how he manages to keep a sense of humor when life is tough. He thought for a moment and said, "Well, when the football team loses, when the trains are late, and when it rains every day for a month, you've only got two options, cry or laugh, and crying ruins your good Harry's tweet." Dear friends, there is something wonderfully Scottish about that, isn't there? That mix of dry realism and quiet resilience. Life is hard, but we get on with it, usually with a shrug, a kettle on, and a sharp one-liner. And yet today we are reminded that we are not the only ones who carry burdens or bear witness to God's faithfulness in trying times. But today we are deeply honored to welcome among us the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, the Right Reverend Mikihan Sabia, who is worshiping with us here in Newport-on-Tay after a full and demanding week meeting with Presbyterians across England, engaging with leaders at 121 George Street, the University of Edinburgh, and the Fife Presbytery. Moderator, we are grateful for your presence and your perseverance. And I dare say, after navigating British trains, Edinburgh meetings, and Scottish weather, you have more than earned your honorary Harris tweet. But in all seriousness, your presence reminds us that the church is wide and Christ's compassion reaches across cultures and climates and continents. Wherever we are in the world, there is a shared human ache for mercy. And today's theme could not be more timely. Lord, have mercy, seeing with new eyes, living with new hearts. The cry of mercy is not a sign of weakness. It is the beginning of healing. It is the start of seeing again. So let us listen with open hearts, Scots, Cameroonians, and everyone in between, as we ask again, what does it mean to see as Jesus Christ sees and to love as he loves? But friends, beneath the humor and elaborate introduction I have made lies something profoundly human. We are people in need. We wrestle with struggles we cannot control, wounds we cannot heal, and burdens we cannot carry alone. Into that reality comes the cry of two blind men in Matthew's gospel, "Son of David, have mercy on us." It is one of the most honest prayers ever prayed, not polished, not sophisticated, just raw need voiced in faith. The prophet Isaiah once promised that the day would come when the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. And in Jesus Christ that promise takes flesh. Blind men receive sight, the mute speak, the broken find healing, and the lost receive a shepherd's care. But notice, while the miracle dazzles the crowd, Jesus points to something deeper. He sees not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. Not just the silence of muted lips, but the silence of a people harassed, helpless, and leaderless. And what does he do? He has compassion. He calls for workers. He reminds us that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This brings us to the heart of the problem in our time. We live in societies, whether here in Scotland, across Britain, in America, or throughout secular Europe, where many are searching for meaning, yet stumble as if blind. We see communities fraying with loneliness, families struggling with division, churches wrestling with decline. And often, like the Pharisees, people explain away the good that God is doing. It is just politics. It is just luck. Or worse, they slander what they do not understand. Meanwhile, the church itself is tempted to exhaustion or distraction. We hear the need, but it feels overwhelming. We see the harvest, but the laborers are few. And into this space, Jesus' question still comes. Do you love me? He asked that elsewhere. His call is not first to programs or strategies, but to compassion. Compassion that sees the crowd not as a nuisance, but as sheep without a shepherd. The philosopher Charles Taylor once wrote that the secular age has not abolished the longing for transcendence. It has only buried it under distraction. If that is true, then the cry for mercy is as relevant in 21st century Newport on Tay as it was on the dusty roads of Galilee. People may not shout in churchy words, but in the anxiety, depression, loneliness, or endless busyness, they are crying, "Have mercy on us." And here is the good news. Jesus still hears. He still opens blind eyes. He still gives voice to the voiceless. He still sends out laborers into the harvest, but he does not do it without us. His answer to the crisis of leadership is not to clone himself, but to call us to pray, to go, to serve. What does this mean for us in Scotland today? First, it means learning to love in very ordinary ways. Loving your neighbor in this culture is not always about heroic gestures. Sometimes it is about noticing the person who feels invisible, offering a listening ear when everyone else is rushing, showing patience in a society quick to criticize. In small villages and towns like ours, people still say a neighbor is not the one who lives next door, but the one who shows up when you are in need. That is biblical. That is Christ-like. Second, it means guarding against cynicism. The Pharisees dismissed Jesus' miracles as demonic. Today we are tempted to dismiss small acts of faith as insignificant. But every prayer whispered, every child taught the faith, every lonely person visited, every meal shared in Christ's name, these are seeds of the kingdom. They matter, they endure. Third, it means joining the prayer of verse 38, "Lord of the harvest, send out laborers." This is not just about ministers or ministries, it is about you. You may be the answer to your own prayer. A grandmother teaching her grandchild a hymn is a laborer. A teenager inviting a friend to church is a laborer. A busy worker carving out time to serve at a food bank is a laborer. The harvest is not elsewhere, it is here, in our homes, schools, and communities. And perhaps this is where Isaiah helps us again. He saw a day when the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. Fresh joy, that is what Jesus Christ offers. Not a stale faith weighed down by fear or faction, but a living faith that sees, that hears, and that rejoices again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have heard today how Jesus calls us to live out the kingdom of God in ways that are deeply ordinary, yet spiritually powerful. Kindness in a culture of speed, patience in a world of outrage, and faithfulness in small things that eternity will not forget. In this moment, let me draw your heart to a hymn that has carried generations through hardship, war, personal loss, and revival. The hymn is entitled, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Charles Wesley wrote this hymn in the 18th century. One account suggests he penned it shortly after a life-threatening incident, either while escaping a mob enraged by his preaching or during a storm that nearly killed him. In both stories, the details vary, but one truth remains constant. Wesley experienced the nearness of Christ when death felt closer than life. The words he wrote were not poetic fiction. They were survival words. He knew what it was to flee, to fear. And in that fear, he cried out, "Other refuge have I known, hangs my helpless soul on thee." That is the voice of someone who has come face to face with the storms of life and still believes, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find." It is not a hymn for the comfortable. It is a hymn for the brokenhearted, for the exhausted, for those who cannot fix the world but long to be held by the one who holds all things in his hands. The line you heard earlier says, "The Lord is rich and merciful, my God is very kind." What does that mean in a time of wars, inflation, isolation, cultural fracture, and spiritual fatigue? It means this: kindness is not weak. The kindness of God is strong enough to carry you through storms. It is no small thing to show mercy in a bitter age. The invisible are not forgotten. Jesus sees the ones who feel unseen. Maybe that is you today. He is not looking for perfection. He is listening for your whisper, "Let me to thy bosom fly." Faithfulness in the small things is holy. Every act of unnoticed goodness in your village, your church, your home, it matters. Heaven sees. And it means the harvest is here. In Newport-on-Tay, in Dundee, in the highlands, in the schools, care homes, cafes, and cul-de-sacs, you are a laborer in God's field. And this is the promise, fresh joy. Isaiah said, "The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord." That is not recycled emotion. That is not leftover hope. That is fresh, new mercy every morning. Fresh joy for weary hands and sore hearts. A living faith that still breathes. Let this be your word as you walk into September. When the tempest still is high, "Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past." This month may hold storms. It may hold uncertainties, but the mercy of Jesus is still rich. His kindness still flows. His arms are still open. And in him, we are not only safe, we are sent. So let us live as people who love our neighbors quietly, resist cynicism boldly, and serve faithfully, because our God is very kind. Let fresh joy be your strength this month, and may the lover of your soul keep you till the storm is past. Let us pray. And as we pray, we take a moment of silence and we ask ourselves, where are you blind? What part of your life needs the simple, desperate prayer, Lord, have mercy? Where is God calling you to be a laborer? Not tomorrow, not in theory, but today, in your family, your street, your workplace. Merciful God, open our eyes where we are blind. Loosen our tongues where we have been silent. Soften our hearts where we have grown hard. Give us compassion like Jesus, who looked upon the crowds and loved them. Raise up laborers among us here in Newport on Tay, in Scotland, and across the world. And send us, Lord, even us, to share your mercy, that the harvest may be gathered and your kingdom may come. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Merciful and generous God, you have opened our eyes to see your kindness and softened our hearts to feel your mercy. Now we offer these gifts, our money, our time, our strength, not as a token, but as a trust. We give because you first gave to us. We give in hope that these gifts will become instruments of compassion, reaching the lonely, lifting the burdened, and pointing the blind to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Use what we give today to open eyes, heal hearts, and bring fresh joy where there has been only weariness. And Lord, use us, our words, our hands, our presence, as laborers in your plentiful harvest. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us continue to pray. Gracious God, you are the lover of our souls and the shepherd of the lost. When the crowds cried out, "Have mercy," Jesus stopped. He listened, he touched, he healed. Do the same, Lord, in our day. Stop for us, heal us, have mercy. We pray now for a world that stumbles in blindness, for nations torn by war, for cities weighed down by injustice, for communities fractured by fear. Shine your light in the darkest corners. Raise up peacemakers, healers, and leaders shaped by compassion and truth. We pray for our own nation, for Scotland, for Britain, for Europe, where many feel lost, angry, or numb. We pray especially for those who no longer know how to pray, those facing depression, anxiety, loneliness, or grief. Lord, have mercy. We pray for our town and villages, for Newport on Tay, for Dundee, for every small street and school and care home. May your spirit stir up love in quiet ways, a kind neighbor, a shared meal, a patient word. Let your church be known not for noise, but for mercy. We lift up those who lead in churches across our land. Give them courage when the harvest seems too large and the workers too few. Renew their strength and raise up many more, young and old alike, to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We remember especially those in our own congregation and community who need your touch today, and we name them in the silence of our hearts. May they know your kindness is not just for others, it is for them too. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Where we are blind, give us new sight. Where we are hard, make us tender. Where we are weary, give us fresh joy. Send us out this week not as spectators, but as laborers in your harvest. One person to notice, one burden to lift, one prayer to pray. And may our small faithfulness bear fruit that endures. In the name of Jesus Christ, the merciful one, we pray. Amen. A final hymn as we bring this service to its close is "Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son." It's hymn number 419.
Thank you.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.